Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I bring you greetings in the upper venue. I bring you greetings, those watching by line, but especially you here in the sanctuary. I bring you greetings in a tangible way. God is good and he's going to do great things. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to start there and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 16, starting at the 16th verse. And we're going to see our points. Today I am attempting to get you to do something. I don't want to apologize for that. At the end, there will be a moment of application to this sermon once you hear it that will cause you to have to do something different than you currently are doing or have done, or it's going to cause you to just go to that next step or that next level, and that's going to happen in a practical way. Let's start today by reading Ephesians 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. What a privilege for God to say that we're not just his creation, but we're his sons and daughters. We're in the family, and we're citizens. That means that there are certain things that we demonstrate within the family to show fidelity and love and cooperation. And there is also things that we show outside of the family to show that, you know, we're going to be good representations of our family. So I want you, for purposes of this message, to think about internal things and external things. It's hard for you to be considered a good citizen if when you get home, you're trifling. Sorry, that's a word that does not use across pulpits a lot, but, you know, I just use it. I apologize. Probably should have picked a different one. But if you've got good behavior in the community and bad behavior at home, that's still not good citizenship. Because we get mad at people in authority who give us the impression that everything is okay by the way they serve us, and then the way they live at home is not commiserate. They're just not the same. It's not that they did not connect. So we won't be good citizens. Nothing worse than a man that opens the door for a woman outside of his home, carries the groceries, or help carry some, and then when he get home and his wife pull up, don't run to the door and don't carry the groceries, and he just said, well, she's strong. She's strong. She's strong. She's strong. She got strength. Got to match up. Got to match up. Can't take one set of the benefits and not offer the work that goes along with the benefits that you extract from the relationship. You know, men, when I say something like that, you got to, so you don't be guilty, you got to say, amen. That's right, honey. That's what I'm doing. I may not have been doing it yesterday. I'm going to do it today. Okay. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the relationship cannot begin in a profound way without Jesus Christ getting on the inside of you. He must have preeminence in all things. And I believe whether it's in your natural earthly home or whether it's in this physical, what we call church edifice, or being in the community, if Jesus is not preeminent, if Jesus is not visible, something's amiss. I don't care what business you're doing. I don't care whether it's considered secular or sacred. Jesus is supposed to have the preeminence in all things. All rule, all authority was established by him that he might be preeminent. Doesn't matter who's boasting authority. There is no authority above his. He should be preeminent. In your natural home, is Jesus preeminent? Is the dominant theme of your home to worship him, to pray to him, to connect with him? And as an outflow of that connection, you connect with one another? Is Jesus preeminent in the external things you do at work or as a citizen? In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Do you know that no matter where you swing on the pendulum, in your home or out of your home, that God is giving you grace to grow inside of both? You don't have it all together. So when you hear something being off, don't give up all hope, which is my tendency. If something is not quite right, you know, just one thing out of place, well, that's all wrong. We can't even enjoy it now. Somebody messed it up. No, we just got to put it back on. That's all. Just fix it up and get some glue, you know. The one thing goes wrong and you out the game. You are growing, which necessarily means there are mistakes that are made. You drop stuff. You do stuff out of the wrong emotion. But if you stay connected to the body, the scripture says every joint supplies something. Everyone in your home has a place in your life to make you stronger. Every person in this church, that's why if he can get you away from your home, if he can get you away from your church, he can have his way with you. Because you're still growing. And you need the nourishment that only comes from those places. If you find that you get your greatest joy and energy outside of your home, something wrong. If you find that you get great energy outside of the church, and if you didn't know and you can't see the world clearly, then it's not that much good stuff out there. But you're more connected and you can serve that. That's not good. So today as we look, I'm going to show you through the scriptures your unique privilege to be anointed by God. Trusted by God with a grace and a unique gifting, just like your fingerprint. It's unique. You are unique. And you have something to contribute that though it might be similar to other people, it is not expressed the same way unless it comes from you. You are irreplaceable. I said, you are irreplaceable. Amen. Nobody else like you. Maybe you haven't been told that you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You were made in the image of God, and you're being transformed into his glorious image, and he likes it. He likes you. And I know you know all your mess ups, don't you? And they beating you down. But, you know, just wake on up because it's solved at the cross. It's solved in the grace of God. It's solved in the love of God. So don't be beat up. You're not perfect. I'm sorry. It didn't go perfectly. I want it to go perfectly. And I break down when it doesn't. And I have to look to the grace of God to raise me up. So maybe you in here, we're talking about family. You don't have the perfect family. Don't disqualify yourself till the series is over so you can feel good about yourself again. That's not the point of it. Your family might break. It might break down. But it's not over. Stay connected. Well, you don't know that the divorce already happened. You know what? You can still stay connected. You can still have a good life. You can still stay connected to your parents and don't penalize them for a lifetime for something they may not have been able to have control over. I come from a divorce home, and I know what it's like to penalize your parent because stuff you didn't know. And then when I'm finally grown and I figure it out, oh, Mom, sorry. Well, I tortured her already. Some of you're never going to know the whole story. So don't torture the people because they're broken. Stay connected to the house. That was just for somebody in here because I never said that before I planned to. See, we're all anointed for something. And the Bible says, when if you're given something and you remain faithful over it, the little bit he gives you, his objective is to then make you ruler over much. So the other is correct. If you're not faithful over what you have, then you won't be ruling over much. And most of us believe that it's going to be the much. But it's hard to think that the little is what your inheritance is. But what you do with the little is what's going to determine the much. How are you handling the gifts that God has already given you? Are you being a good steward over them, or are you burying your gift? Is your gift now unknown to you because you buried it? Or are you actually serving it up? See, God believed that he was all you needed, but he wanted you to have more, each other. And today, people in this room need your help. They're asking for your help. You are sitting there uniquely wired to be the answer for somebody you don't know by showing up with the grace of God that's on your life. Who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? Or are your own problems going to overwhelm you to the degree that you just stop sowing? The Bible said, he that observes the wind will not sow. If you wait on the conditions of your life to be good enough for you to sow, well, guess what? You probably not going to sow nothing ever. If you are a receiver of everything and a giver of little things, you're not sowing at the level you're capable. So, in your home, if your greatest strength leaves you and you come home and your family is left with very little to work with, you're mismanaging your gift. But it can be fixed. Start helping. There is no such thing as a designated dishwasher in a home. Hey, Mom, dishes in the sink for? Well, is somebody gonna get them? Not me, I'm not designated. That's neither a feminine or a masculine job. That's just a job. Let the women say, amen! Praise God. I didn't know it was gonna be this good. Some of the brothers say, hey, man, relax on that. We don't ask them to take the trash out. See, helping and being a helper doesn't have those limitations on it. It just has, I have the capability. Therefore, I take advantage of the opportunity to help you. All right. We're going to have more fun. Go ahead to 1 Samuel 16. We're going to start at the 6th verse. Now, let me put in context what's going on. Saul is the king of Israel, selected because the people rejected being led by judges who were led by God. And it was in Samuel had said, God, I'm sad because they rejected me. And God told Samuel, don't be sad about that. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. They didn't want my direct leadership on them this way. So God gives them a king to satisfy how they would like to appear before the nations. Tall man, strong man, but you can see his infirmity from day one, his weakness of fear, hiding among the baggage, okay? Timidity, it's in him. But the king comes up. God told him during one time to utterly destroy everybody he was fighting, and he left the best things alive. He left the king alive. Then Samuel came up and judged him and said, this day God has taken the kingdom out of your hand and given it to a better man. Now, we're about to go to the story of God identifying this better man. And he tells him to go to a guy named Jesse's house. Go sacrifice. And now he's bringing all of Jesse's sons in front of them to see whether the anointing should rest on them. Verse 6. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How many times have you selected people based on how they look and been disappointed when you were told the lie that they could give you something that they couldn't produce. Makes you mad, makes you disappointed, because you relied on something that played the part, but it wasn't the part you needed. How many things do we as humans, the God is saying, we are wired in such a way where we gravitate to what's external instead of internal. In fact, Saul met the requirements for the people of Israel through his height and his appearance, but he failed to have a heart, even though he had an anointing. David's about to be anointed, and it said of him that he's getting the anointing because God's got the heart he needs. Now, man looks on the outward appearance and accepts you, but God looks on the inward part, and God knew the inward parts of each and every one of us, but he still has chosen you. He knew your tendencies. I look at, this down in my notes, so I'm going to do it anyway. I'll come up here, Bryson. Now, Bryson is one of our youth ministers in youth ministry. Now, when I first look at Bryson, this is not the image of the man that I'm going to just put on my team just right away. In fact, besides his wedding day, I don't know if I seen him in a suit. You know, but in our, this, are you 22 or 21?
22.
22 years old. And as anointed as they come. A highly anointed. And I can see and sense the anointing on his life, even though I don't like the songs that he plays. Don't listen to none of them if he's not singing them. But my point is that I was hardwired to miss this man by my biases, by my preferences. But there's something about how God selects that has allowed me the privilege to see the man and say, oh, no, we need this right here. Now, if I came from where he's from in Seattle, oh, they're not accepting my ministry. Oh, they said, oh, no, they're not. I would need him to interpret for me. Yeah, Bryson, come on, we got to go a road trip. Okay, but what I want you to see is I wouldn't have, independent of the Spirit, I possibly would have missed this guy. And I know that if we look at each other based on the flesh, we're going to miss each other and the help that we can get. Because you know, you look at the ministry team sometime up here and say, oh, I don't want to go up none of them, that, you know, because they maybe don't look like you want somebody to look. You don't know that that person pray way more than you. They got a breakthrough for you. That's why they up here. They can pray. Okay? Thank you, Bryson. Look at you, this handsome guy. I got to get me some pants that show off my calf. I guess that's what I need, calf pants, you know. That's all I need, you know, help me relate to the next generation. Thank you, Bryson. Praise the Lord. Bringing them out. Get ready. It ain't never going to happen. Let's get back to the Bible, verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. The youngest. We didn't even invite him to the dinner with the senior prophet, the judge of our whole existence. We left him out doing work while we out having a good time. He's nothing more to us than Cinderella. And we just left him out there messed up. A prophet is without honor except in his own home. Now here's a man that is being sought after, but in his own house, can't get no glory. Get out of here, keep them sheep, boy. You might look at yourself and find that there was no attractive quality about you to man. But how others feel about you is not the same way God might feel about you. And I know that we anticipate that the good feelings would come from the house. But let me tell you why this happens. Because people you grow up with or you're in the house with, you know, they see you in all types of form. They see you when you first wake up. They see the crust in your eye. They see how you left that plate in the sink like somebody else was gonna wash it. They see different things which make them have to think about when you're gonna correct that other stuff so I can find out the other good things in you. And it's maybe the disciplines of loving our families like we should in a sacrificial way that it causes us to be the best in the church that we need to be. David was out with the sheep. David was far from the place of anointing. David was far from the place of selection. In the eyes of people, he probably would have finished out his life as a shepherd. And the Lord said, and Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we should not sit down till he comes here. So obviously they were getting ready to eat without the man. He said, we're not eating. We're not sitting down. Go get that boy. And the Lord, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. That's why they really put him in the back. If you look too good, hey, I don't have hair. He got hair. Look, in the back. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he who, the person who has my heart. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So God gives him an anointing, a smearing, a protecting, a divine gratuity, an ability, as 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing or you have an unction from the Holy One. And you need not that another verse says, you need not that another teach you, but the same anointing that's upon you shall teach you all things and lead you, guide you into all truths. This anointing is God's power upon you. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost even before he was appointed to his highest place. Okay, so there's an anointing that God starts with. There's an ability that God starts with, and it's on you. But that doesn't mean you're using it. That doesn't mean you're activating what's available to you. That just means it's in your possession. That's right. And what are you going to do with it? Notice that he was anointed in the midst of his brothers. Do you know what that means? That the very people who were ignoring you, the very people who thought a little lower of you, that didn't invite you to the party, they've got to see God celebrating you. And that the only reason that somebody that never would have come to their town and never would have come to their house came was because of the grace of God on your ignored life. I want you to know today, it doesn't matter what you feel about yourself. Doesn't matter how long you've been displaced. I'm here to announce to you that God has found you worthy of his love and of his anointing because he believes in you. He'll anoint you. Now, he's not in control of your heart. You are. He only can work in you the will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, he works in you to know what he wants. And then it's up to you to say, I'm in agreement with that. And David must have been in agreement because he didn't reject the anointing. Verse 14. What do you do once you've been anointed? There are some things you've got to get developed on the inside of you. You've got to be ready for that job opening. And when they ask you to fill out the application that is about your qualifications for the job assignment, you've got to say, I not only have the anointing, but I've got the character to keep that anointing in its prominent place. Now, verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. See, either you've got God's spirit or another spirit gonna come in there. And when that spirit comes in, you're tormented. So you know when you're acting in accordance with God's spirit, when you have the fruit of the spirit, which is love, joy, peace, or whatever. And when you can't find the fruit of the spirit with you, then you're being tormented. This is where Saul found himself, because he was consistently looking for people to do what only God could do. And he lost. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now a harmful spirit from the Lord is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servant who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when a harmful spirit from the Lord comes upon you, he will play it and you will be well. And Saul said to his servant, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. So imagine this. There's an anointing on your life, and somebody is searching for you to get it. And based on you being prepared, they'll get it, and unprepared, they'll miss it. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So you are being observed. You're being watched. The words that come out of your mouth may mean one thing to you, but others are judging them based on another standard. Everything you do is being watched. Find me Jesse, the Benjaminite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. That means they have never talked to this man. They have observed him. They have observed where he's from. They know who his family is. And that he's not just a player of an instrument, he's skillful. That means he had to develop a discipline to do something over and over and over again over an extended period of time until he became excellent at it. He's so skillful that of all the musicians that can be picked in the whole land, they're searching for a person who can be identified like him as excellent and skillful. He's a man of valor. That means he carries himself with a certain honor and a certain dignity, a certain walk. It's a certain thing that when David walks in as a man of valor, you know that a man has walked in. There's not a lack of certainty. Strength just came in. A man that's capable, if a fight go down, to come in. I don't believe that it was the type of fighting as a man of war where he was just, you know, strong because he wrestled a lot or something. I believe that the story of David killing a bear with his bare hands because they tried to come at the sheep, and killing a lion with his bare hands because they came at the sheep, I think that was it. And I don't think people studied back then to wrestle bears and lions. Said the Spirit of the Lord came on him. David is somewhere being able to fill out his application because the prerequisites are being met. Search for a man. Can you fill out your application? Can you fill out your application? What's on there? Have you done enough at home? Have you done enough at church? Have you been a help? Final point. Verse 19. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who is with the sheep, anointed and serving in the lowest position. I'm about to appoint him based on his anointing and his application. It says he's a good man, good presence, good skill, all this good stuff he's got. He's been faithful, and he's still with the sheep with an anointing. And Jesse took a donkey and laid it with bread and skins and wine and a young goat and sent them by David to his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. Now he's going from serving his home and sheep to serving the king, serving his greater community, being a good citizen. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. What a position of honor. Close to the king, learning yet more skills that he might rule one day. From the moment the anointing came on him and didn't say, all that he needed was there. Jesus, the Bible said we grow in grace and the knowledge of God, and that Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. There are certain things you have to learn through going through the process. And a lot of us would say no to the anointing if we knew what the process was. I would say no. Too much pain. I didn't know it was going to hurt to when you work out so you can be strong. But there's no other way, is it? That's not a lot of y'all working out, huh? It's all right. Just go down. Start with a treadmill. It's hard for everybody because everybody loves cakes. I do. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David remain in my service. And he was found favor in my sight. And when the harmful spirit from the Lord came upon him, David took a lyre and played it with his hands so that Saul was refreshed and as well. And the harmful spirit departed from him. He got appointed to a job because he was serving. The Bible goes on to say, you know the end of the story, that David was constantly going to Saul's house to serve him, and he was going back to his house to serve the sheep. It wasn't an either or. Well, I'm going to serve in church, or I'm going to serve in the community, but I'm going to neglect home. No, he was doing what was right at home, and he was doing what was right in the community to be a help. And when he was taking food from his first job at home to the battle lines to serve his brothers, he saw a giant that nobody wanted to resist. And what he did was say, I'll do it. They didn't appoint him. He just said, he volunteered. This is the volunteer state, right? He volunteered. Say, I know that it's an anointing on my life. I've applied. I've got the applications. Nobody else is standing up. I'm uniquely wired to do this because the Spirit of the Lord is on me from the moment that he anointed me, when the bear came, when the lion came, and now this uncircumcised Philistine is going to experience the anointing on my life. Let appoint me for the game. It wasn't them begging for him. Can y'all get me in? Can y'all get me in? Who got next? No. It was him saying, I have made myself ready. God has approved me, and I'm ready. And you know what they did? So we don't have nobody else. Nobody else doing it. They gave him some pitiful weapons, and he began to say yes. Will you say yes? What is God asking you to do? You can't do what I'm supposed to do. What is he asking you to do? Because when that man took his rightful place, a whole nation in one day, went from running around afraid to feeling like they could conquer. Right. He hit that man. Now, for me, I had to say yes to this. This is what I had to say yes to. Okay? This is me. And because God also bears the title of my spiritual responsibility, he's setting the standard. And the Bible says a good shepherd would lay his life down for the sheep. So that's like saying you don't get a life. And them, that spot don't have a life. He anointed me. But I started out in what man would say is the lowest position. You know, in the parking lot, though I believe it's a glorious position. But I didn't have that revelation when I was going out there in the cold. I was just like, what's wrong with God? Did he forget that he put the anointing on me? Years of service. Then when I was first anointed, a pastor brought on staff. You know what they did? This is how my job description went at Bethel. What jobs don't the rest of us who've been here longer want? What we don't want to do? Give it to the new guy who don't know that that's not the privileged position. That was so happy that I picked up all their work. They didn't even feel bad. I was thrust in step by step serving until when something was needed, I was able to step up and say, here am I, God, send me. I got to turn the balance of the service over to Pastor Mike Cantrell. Come on up here, Mike, who's going to take you in the next 3 minutes to a practical step. This requires 100% participation. This is not, if I got my house in order, I'm going to serve in the house of God. This is, I'm going to have my house in order so I also can serve and be who God has called me to be. I'm not going to waste my anointing. I'm going to develop the character, fill out the application that proves that I could be an appointed with an anointing to solve a problem. You are problem solvers. Thank you for your time. Listen to Pastor Mike.
Give God a praise for Pastor James. Thank you, sir. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Justin up there in the upper venue. If you guys would just go over this insert. And down here, guys, if you're here, could everybody pull out their We Are Family, a Family of Disciples, little card that looks like this. You have your shiny blue Bethel Build pen. Do you see that? Everybody have that? This is the simple way you're going to participate today. On the back side, there's some description of areas of service. This is nothing new. These are our Sunday and morning army of volunteer teams. You know, our offering exhortation today was about bringing a voluntary offering. Pastor James's message today was about volunteering for service. And as you do that today you can simply, you're saying, I'm going to enlist for the next year. Now, the amazing thing is you're really just saying about 12 times, because most every area only serves once a month. So it may seem like an incredible investment, but essentially you're saying, I'll serve once a month for the next year in one of these amazing areas, our children's ministry team. Every Sunday, guys, you don't realize that we have almost a mega church in children's ministry. It takes an army of volunteers. And maybe you're not a teacher, but you just want to serve in an administrative way, you can do that. Ushers, you guys see that. Greeters, parking, Pastor James talked about, super critical area. Tactical team, band and choir, audio, visual and media, hospitality and kitchen. Pastor James loves to feed people, but it takes a gift of hospitality and people there. A prayer team. I don't know if you know, but during every service, we have people praying in a prayer room during the service. So if you're a prayer person, you could say, hey, I want to show up and to pray, and we can help you do that. And then middle school and high school ministry. If you're interested in either of those, just all you need is your name, your email, your phone. Please write neatly. And it says, I'm committing to the following area of service from above. And you just write that in that line below. See that? And because we're a discipleship-based church and an outreach church, if you're interested in attending a life group or being a life group leader, we want you to check that today. And then finally, it says, I'm interested in serving on an outreach team. I mean, we are Bethel World Outreach. That means we have outreach to do. It's part of our name and calling here in the city. So if that's you and you would like to say, hey, just circle one. I'd like to do more street evangelism or visit convalescent homes or prisons or hospitals or our inner city ministry or our college campus ministry. So as I've been talking, I'm sure you've completed that. Just make sure, again, 100% participation. Make sure your name and information's on there. And one of our great teams will follow up with you, all right? Here's what, yes, sir.
Ushers, I know that I'm messing you up because we got to get out of here. Ushers, go ahead and come on down and pick that up. Make sure you fill it out completely. Now, when he says 100% participation, that means I want 100% of y'all to go ahead and turn it in. So raise your hand if you got your paper and you were getting ready to turn it in. Raise your hand. That means everybody hand go up. That's everybody. Everybody. You just put, come on, everybody put right. Your hand. You don't pass. So even if you own a department already, yep. I still want you to fill it out. Everybody fill it out. Pass it to the right.
Pass it to the right and the ushers will come, all right? Go ahead and stand to your feet. And if you're part of our ministry team, you can come down. If you're part of our ministry team, you can come down. Stand to your feet. Please pass those to the right, to the person on the right, and the ushers will get them in the row to your right. Minister team, make your way down. Well, we have two, ministry team. Come on down. I know we're giving you a lot to do at once. Hey, guys, don't forget to register for the picnic. Go up to the UV, get your t-shirt. There's about only 1 week left for that, so you want to make sure you do that, all right? I want to pray, and then we'll just make sure that you continue to pass these to the right to the our ushers. Father, thank you, God, for a glorious day. Thank you, God, for the church, God, the local church, the hope of the world. Thank you for this volunteer army, God, that helps deliver ministry to our city. God, whether it's in life groups and discipleship, whether it's in outreach, these outreach teams, or whether it's being part of a service a team serving on Sundays or Wednesdays, thank you for the ministry we deliver to the city. Thank you that it's not just about a pulpit or a preacher, but it's about an army of volunteers. God, today as they say, here I am, send me, God, bless them. Thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, please get these to an usher if you haven't done that. And if you need prayer for anything, make your way down here to the front. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. You're dismissed.